I want to say thanks for being in the house of God tonight. Thanks for coming out in the rain and the wet and whatever else is going on out there. Amen. I like being in church, you know. When we were on vacation there, and we were in the hotel room in Fort Lauderdale, Sunday, I told you, we always go to church when we're gone somewhere. I mean, I go find somewhere. But just the way things happened and the way it was and the kids were whooped and blah, 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 we didn't end up going anywhere a week ago from last Sunday, from 3 days ago when we were in Fort Lauderdale. And there's an awesome church there called Calvary I wanted to go check out, but we didn't make it there. But anyway, we had church in the hotel room, and that was a lot of fun. So, you know, Anna, she's just getting after it, having church. And we have praise and worship, and Marcia's doing her thing. And then I preach a message on Paul telling them about the ship to launch out. I said, we're about to launch out on the ship. And so, I mean, it was funny. I mean, we didn't have church. We had church. We had black church. And it was just a lot of fun. And then we prayed together and just a really special time. So, you know, being in the house of God is so important, and we're just thrilled to be back home. I don't know if you noticed my voice kind of tweaked out about three-quarters of the way through the message Sunday morning. That's twice now this year, and I don't look for a demon under every rock, but, you know, I got a message I got to communicate, and I like to communicate it a certain way. I don't do very well just sitting still and talking the same way the whole time. And so I'd ask that y'all just pray for my vocal cords, that God strengthen that, because here's the deal. When we go to two services, and that's coming, I don't want to preach first service like I'm back at, you know, the denominational church again. No offense to anybody who came from a denominational church, but we're not going to have first service that's laid back for everybody over 60 and second service for everybody under 60. Amen. It's going to be full tilt victory for both services. I just, you know, and for me, the mornings are made for work, not sleep. So a lot of people are more awake in the morning than they are on later in the day. And so I just expect the same thing. And one of the things that excites me so much, I'm so pumped to have men of God like John Weil and Woody Oldroyd. And Woody did the funeral for me. You know, I was supposed to be here to be able to do Mike's service. And when I found out I couldn't be, first person I called was Woody. And he just did an incredible job. Honestly, Woody had more place doing it than me. He spent more time with him than probably anybody in the church. And we're right up there with him. And so he just did an awesome job. And then last Sunday, man, I listened to the service this week. And I was just blown away. I thank God that it's not like, well, pastor's gone, we're just going to survive this service. Y'all had church. Amen. And then last Wednesday night, Mike talking about favor, and thank you to those of you who shared your testimony. There's nothing worse than doing testimony times and you can hear crickets, you know, because people are scared to talk. But I just praise God for that. And you know, I've joked about it this week. I've said I'm in love with Jamaica and I'm ready to go start a church there. Y'all want to go? Y'all can come with me, and we'll just make this one the satellite and fill it in with other people, okay? We'll come back here in the winter. In the summer. Summer, which is only 6 weeks. So we could live out of a tent. But anyway, but, you know, and another thing, I talk about two services, but something, you know, that we've done and that's been a part of the vision of this ministry and something that's burned in my heart from the start is that this church would be a multi-site church. In other words, more than one campus. I mean, people were looking at me crazy when we moved into Croman and I was writing campuses on the back of the bulletins. They're like, what is that? You know, but that's because we dress for where we're going, not for where we are. Does that make sense? And You know, so I'm just excited about that. And here's why. As a pastor, what that means for me is, you know, when I get testimonies and feedback from people, I was talking to a lady here in the church today. Can y'all hear me in the back okay? I was talking to someone in the church today, and they just said how wonderful the ministry was while I was gone. I'm not offended by that. That melts my heart. I love that because the church can't be built on me. Amen. I refuse to have a church built on me. I need to know that no matter what happened to me, this church goes forward. And so, the Sunday I was gone, for the first time in almost 10 years, that's a long time, for the first time in almost 10 years, it was the very first Sunday that attendance did not take a nosedive when I left. Amen. And here's what that tells me. It tells me we're another step closer to multi-services and multi-sites. Amen. That's maturity. That people are coming and connecting to the ministry and the message regardless of the man standing behind the pulpit. That's what maturity is. We're planted in the house. We're not attached to a person. Well, amen. And so I just praise God for that, and that excites me. But anyway, that was a long way about telling you, if you would, pray for my throat. And I want you to take a Bible tonight, and I want you to go to 1 John. And I talked to you Sunday about the turnover, and we talked about the radical love of God and just some four incredible truths about God's radical love for you that revolutionizes our life. But on Wednesday nights, I've been talking to you this week about leadership and about balance, the importance of balance. And so tonight I'm marrying this message on the love of God together with that message on balance, because balance is everything to us at Victory Church. Can you say amen? You need to live a balanced life. You know, consistency is the key to growth no matter what you're doing. Faithfulness is the key to increase. Character is the key to legacy. Rest is the key to longevity. But balance is the greatest key to success. We've got to be a people who are balanced. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we're to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to be balanced. And so tonight, I want to talk to you and balance out Sunday's message with 1 John. And I'm going to do something tonight I've never done before, and I'm excited to do it with you. But we're going to read the book of 1 John together. And here's why. Because nobody preached a better message on the balance of love than John. Amen? And some of you may not have read 1 John in a long time. If you saw your renewal fuel this week, it was just 1 John and 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter. But every day, you've only got one chapter to read each day. And so what I've been doing this week is I'm taking one chapter and I'm reading it multiple times from multiple translations. And just gleaning from it and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak into my heart. But I wanted to just take some time with you tonight and read this together. Is that okay? You know, the Bible says we're to do that together. We're to read the Scripture. And so let's do that tonight. 1 John, are you there? How many of you, just by a show of hands, brought a Bible tonight? Amen, on a Wednesday night. Wow. Praise God. Okay, let's go, because we got a long way to go and a short time, Kevin, to get there. Okay, let's go. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice fellowship with God and people, verse 4. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. So there is no condemnation in 1 John. Thank God for that. And we're going to receive an impartation of joy tonight. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, thank God for verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Aren't you thankful you have an advocate tonight? Verse 2, and he himself, our advocate Jesus, he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Verse 3, now by this we know that we know him. By this we know that we know him. He's about to give us a litmus test on how you know whether you know God or not. If, somebody say if. We keep his what? Commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. How do we know that we know we're in him? If we keep his commandments, amen? He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Really, that label Christian is a tag you have to earn. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. Now, he doesn't say what that commandment was, but here's what it is. It's the commandment to love God and love each other. Amen. Remember, Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Before he left, he said in John 13, behold, I give you a new commandment that you love each other the way I have loved you. And by this love, the world will know that you're my disciples. Okay? Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. So it's old and it's new all at the same time. Isn't that right? A new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. Thank God for that. And the true light is already shining. Verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Isn't that interesting? If you don't walk in love, you can't see where you're going. Verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I love that. The joy of entry. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him. Fathers know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I don't have time to get into it tonight, but there's a progression there of our growth in the Lord as we go from babies to adults in Christ. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. You've been introduced to Daddy. Verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. I thank God that in adolescence we whip the devil's tail. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's powerful, isn't it? That's one to chew on. for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. Yeah, whoa, 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 whoa. Away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. Verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. In other words, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Amen? No lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. He's going back to talking about the commandment of love. Let that abide in you which you heard right from the start. Let it live in you, okay? Which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, in other words, love, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So important that we walk in love and live in love. And this is the promise that he has promised us. What is the promise? Eternal life, verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So you see, 1 John is being written as the result of deception that was creeping into those he was writing this to, that was obviously stating you can receive God's love, but if it doesn't transform your life and you don't obey God and you don't follow God and you don't take up your cross and crucify yourself and follow him, that's okay. You're still all right. Everything's cool because God's love and God loves you. No, he's not saying that at all. Amen. That's exactly what he's battling in this letter to the believers to which he writes. Verse 26, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. I thank God that the anointing abides in us. You are anointed. Say, I am anointed right now. So you got to learn just how to release that anointing and let it touch your life and those around you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. The Holy Spirit is the greatest guide and the greatest teacher you will ever have. He should have the first voice in your spirit, not me. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Everything I say, do not take me at my word. Now, I study my tail off to make sure I don't miss it, because I'm going to answer to God for teaching. And I'll have a more strict judgment than those who are not teachers. But at the end of the day, I'm still human, and I have the power to miss it. So take everything I say and make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Amen? Okay, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we abide in him, there will be no room or reason for us to be ashamed. Verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. In other words, he who practices righteousness is righteous. Okay? Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, or look, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God! Exclamation point. I mean, that's mind-numbing that God calls us and loves us so much that we've been called his kids. that blow your mind tonight? You know, we just kind of read over this stuff and we forget about it because as Americans, we're always looking for something new and something different and something else to entertain us. But I mean, my goodness, there should never be anything that excites you more than knowing that. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That gets me excited. I'm going to see Jesus, Phil. I'm going to see Jesus, and when I see him, I'm going to be transformed into I don't know what, but it's going to be the exact same thing that he is. Amen? And everyone, verse 3, who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What is lawlessness? And what is sin? Lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Thank God for that. Whoever abides in him does not sin. In other words, you don't practice sinning. Okay? Sometimes we blow it, we messed up. We don't make a practice of it anymore like we used to. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now, again, when he says, let nobody deceive you, it means that there were those saying, it's okay if you don't live like Jesus. It's okay if you don't live a righteous life. You're still righteous. That sounds a lot like what's being preached today. And the danger of that deception is that you think you're something that the Word of God says you're not. So you think you're okay when God says that's not okay. Verse 8, he who sins is of the devil. In other words, those who practice sin, they're making a regular habit of it. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, this is one of my favorite scriptures. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to kick the devil's tail. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Jesus whooped the devil's tail. Yeah, I hope you don't think any less of me. All right, let's go on. Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. Thank God for that, the incorruptible seed. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. This is how you know the difference between the two. Whoever doesn't practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. I don't think there's another Bible in the book of in the Word of God that talks more about love than 1 John for the amount of scripture that's there. Okay? He says, this is how you know. Whoever doesn't practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, here it is, that we should what? Love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. He who does not love his brother abides in death. He who does not love his brother abides in what? Death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know, there are churches full of hate. I mean, the people just straight up hate each other. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, by this we know love, by this we know love, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I'm happy to lay my life down for you. Amen. I hope you're happy to lay your life down for me. I'd give you my life if I needed to. Amen. That's the love of God. Verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? When you see a need and you have the ability to meet it and you turn away, shame on us. But I thank God we don't do that, do we? Verse 18, we are a need-meeting machine. That's not what verse 18 says. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love can only be seen by the actions it prompts, right? Verse 19, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So when I take love and I act on it, I know I'm in the truth. I know I'm a child of God. And it assures my heart before him, Kevin. What a wonderful thing. That builds confidence for us to go before the throne. Verse 19, verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Thank God for that. Verse 21. How many of y'all have felt condemned before? You felt condemned in your heart. What'd that do to your approach to the throne? Did it make you run to it or make you shy away from it? Make you shy away from it, doesn't it? That's why we got to be careful. The devil wants you to be more conscious of what's wrong with you than what's right. And he wants you to stay conscious of the failures of your past. But we've got to stay on top of that. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. You got to get rid of that sin consciousness because the blood of Jesus has washed you totally clean. Amen. And if you blow it, I've blown it a few times since I got saved, you know, every once in a while, right? You've probably done that a few times too. Now, Maria, I know you never have. Nah, she's saying nah. But here's the deal. 1 John 1:9 takes care of that. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm always walking in the light as he is in the light, and I'm walking in the light I have. I'm walking in the understanding I have, Teresa. I'm walking with God to the best of my ability. And as I walk in the light as he is in the light, the Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So there's a double cleansing going on even there. Just by walking in the light, and whenever I blow it, I just confess it to God. And you know, I don't have to do penance. I don't have to crawl across glass for 30 minutes. I don't have to take a flog and beat myself for an hour and a half. Y'all are laughing at that, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes you do that. You feel like, oh, I got to feel guilty for a week. God, here I am again. I need something, but I really can't ask because I screwed up last week. And no. Amen. Why don't you take that time you would have spent feeling guilty and doing penance, and why don't you just spend it praising him? Why don't you just spend it in his presence? Why don't you just realize that it's okay? Jesus was the only one who was ever perfect. Just get back and fall, get back up and fall forward and keep going with God. Amen. All right, where are we at? Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. I love that. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because. How'd that do, Coral, man? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's powerful. Verse 23. And this is the commandment. Here we go again. He's talked through about this commandment all the way through, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as God, as he gave us commandment. You got two commandments. Two. Believe and love. That's it. Well, that's really difficult, isn't it? So where do we get all these other golden calves that we can't tip over? Believe and love. Believe and love. Believe and love. Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe. And it's going to take everything you've got to keep believing. And not allow doubt into your life. Believe and love. It's going to take everything you've got and all your energy and all your effort and all your focus to love people because you want to knock their teeth out. Right? Y'all are like, he needs some more fiber in his diet. All right, let's go to the next one. Knocking teeth out, swearing in church. Verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this We know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. I know I'm a child of God because of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I didn't get a golden watch stamped with Kingdom of God the day I got born again. So how do I know that I'm a child of God? Because I know that 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 I know because the Spirit of God is living on the inside of me. And the same way I know that he created the world just by looking at it, I can see my life as a new creation, that I'm not who I used to be, and I certainly couldn't do this in my life. So I know that God's Spirit is on the inside of me, declaring that I do not any longer have a spirit of fear, but I have a spirit of adoption where I can cry out, Daddy! I love that. Okay. Where are we at? 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God. I like that. Don't you trust everything you hear, even if it sounds good. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. Antichrist may not be on the scene yet. He may not have even been born yet. We don't know. But his spirit's already here. Amen. Okay. So spirits don't die. They're same spirits that you see influencing different people throughout the Bible are still here. Certain spirits are territorial and they sit over certain areas. Same spirit that was there in Cain that killed Abel. Same spirit that was there in Korah with rebellion. Same spirit that was in Delilah. Same spirit that was dealing with Jezebel. You see that at work in different people at different times. Okay, let's see here. Where are we at? 2? By this, nah. 4. You're of God, little children, and one of my favorites. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. He who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in you are greater than Satan and every demon in hell in the world. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. The greater one lives in me and he takes me into greater things. Can you say amen? Amen. Okay, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. And he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I have all kind of fun with that one, but I got to keep trucking. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. He who does not love does not know God. Love can only be seen in the actions it prompts. He who does not love does not know God. So if you have a family member who is just a jerk, right? And they don't love, it's because they don't know God. Now you know how to pray for them. They need to know God. They need to be loved by God. They can't love others because they don't know how to be loved. They don't love themselves. Hurting people hurt people. Mean people are mean to people. Stupid people are stupid to people. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's agape. We talked about that Sunday. God is love. God does not have love. God is love. In this love of God was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's how God showed us that he loved us. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If anybody can tell me what propitiation is in a definition that's satisfactory to me, I'll let you have anything in the bookstore. One thing. Raise your hand. Propitiation. Deb. No. Say that again. Very close. I'm going to hang on to yours. Someone else? Okay. The appeasement of wrath by a sacrifice. We can't miss the wrath part. Propitiation, Jesus is our propitiation. He is the appeasement of God's wrath. To say God is not mad at you, that doesn't work if you're talking to everybody in both camps. God is angry with the sinner, but he loves them enough to save them. The wrath of God in its entirety abides on the sinner. Smile. That's why the gospel's good news, because Jesus, you want to know how angry God is about sin? Look at the cross. God poured his wrath against sin out on Jesus at the cross. That's why when I accept Jesus, I'm saying, you are my propitiation. You have appeased the wrath of God by your sacrifice. So now God is no longer angry with me because of the sin of my past. And the blessings of Christ as the firstborn son and the inheritance, the inheritor of all things, come on to me. I'm not trying to get the blessing. I'm already blessed. I walk in the blessing of God. More specifically, I walk in the blessing that belongs to Jesus Christ as the firstborn son, which is everything that's daddy's is his, and everything that's his is mine. That's why the Bible says I'm an heir to God, and I'm a joint heir with my big brother who kicked the devil's butt from one end of eternity to the other. Amen. Okay, let's keep going. Let's see. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If that's the way God loved us, we also ought to love one another. I wish we could just read that in every church in America for about 3 hours. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. You know, most churches split over what color they paint the walls, over the kind of toilet paper they have. I mean, you think these things are stupid, but I'm not lying to you. Some of y'all came from churches like that. People getting ticked off over the most ignorant things. Just love each other. Amen. Well, that's why at Victory Church, we don't fight over preference. Because we don't care. Preference doesn't matter, right? We fight for the vision. And the vision is that we're going to win the world for Jesus Christ through his love and the power of the Holy Spirit and the message that he's put in our mouths and in our hearts. Not as that's a head knowledge, but something that we're living and that we've experienced and that we've encountered through an intimate walk with God that we're demonstrating every single day. It's funny, whenever we were traveling, you go through customs, they have a paper. Is there anything you want to declare? Yeah, Jesus is Lord. Anyway, Paul, you know about customs. It's funny, and then they ask you questions like you don't know what they're doing. They're profiling you. They're like, oh, yeah, you're from Pennsylvania? Where in Pennsylvania? What's going on in Pennsylvania? Look, dude, I'm not Al-Qaeda. Just let me in my country. All right. Where are we at? I'm lost. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God if we love one another, God abides in us. If we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has been perfected in us. His love is maturing us. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him. Here's another litmus test. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. I love that. The Holy Spirit is my engagement ring. You know it? You know Beyonce, she sang that, if you like it, you should have put a ring on it. A few of you know what I'm talking about. Hey, when I got saved, Jesus put a ring on it. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. That's the revelation we received Sunday morning. Real victory begins with that revelation of how God loves you. Let's see here. God is love. There it is again. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Another one of my favorites. Because as he is, so are we in this world. as he is right now, so are we in this world. What is he right now? He's holy and he's righteous and he's pure. Amen? And he's an heir right now, and he's blessed right now, and he has victory right now. As he is, so are we in this world. I'm not waiting till the other life to have those things. God sees me that way right now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Kingdom life begins now. Eternal life started the moment I got born again, not the day I die. Amen. So I got two things going on right now. All right. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. There is no fear of punishment in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Okay, there we are back again. Jesus was the appeasement of the wrath of God for my sin. He has taken the wrath of God away. God is not angry with me. I will never be judged again for the sins of my past. That's good news. I can't be tried twice. He already tried Jesus once at the cross. God's not into double jeopardy. Okay. So perfect love, a perfect understanding of the love of God, throws fear out of my life because I understand I can run to God and not from him because he's not angry with me as his child. He's already dealt with his anger through his son, Jesus Christ. And now the love of God abides on me. And as a loving father, if I fall or if I did mess up, he lifts me up in his arms. He loves on me. He sets me back on my feet and he shows me how to do it right because that's what good daddies do. And God is no bum dad. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Okay, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Not so he'll love us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. I like this. I mean, John doesn't candy coat it. There's nothing politically correct about it. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, here it is again, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Do you see how the Holy Spirit connects things all the way through this entire book? We're running across the same themes about these commandments. Chapter 5, verse 1, our last one, whoever, you impressed, John? You didn't think I'd get through it. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten. In other words, if you love the Father, you need to love the Son. Okay, Jehovah's Witnesses have a problem with that, but anyway. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God, when we love God and keep his commandments. There it is again, another litmus test, same thing. By this we know that we love the children of, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Okay, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I mean, he says the same thing, the Holy Spirit, over and over and over and over. You think he might want you to get it. And his commandments, I love this, are not burdensome. It's so hard to be a Christian. No, the Bible said it's not. Sorry, that one don't work today. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. How many of you are born again? Say, I'm an overcomer. Okay, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, this is the victory, this is the victory, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I can't wait, I'm going to start preaching on that a week from Sunday. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? How many of you are believers? Okay, you have overcome the world in the name of Jesus. You're an overcomer, verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity. The Father, the Word, which is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, 14, right? So there's the Trinity right there. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. I want the applause of God, not men. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. Here's what it is. Verse 10.
He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. God himself testifies of Jesus Christ. Verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12. That's why it says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. He's written these to us. Okay? Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit penning these words through John, down through generations that would come, speaking to us tonight on February 19th, 2014. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, so powerful. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, how do I get him to hear me? I ask according to his will, right? And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he or God will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. That's anything but blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can pray people out of sin. Y'all know some family members that need to get out of sin, some friends. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. There is a place in God where the devil cannot touch you. Hallelujah. Get there. Verse 19, the secret place of the Most High. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway or control of Satan. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, and in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. If you're thankful for the Word of God, you are blessed tonight. Give Jesus the ovation of the evening. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. Stand with me tonight. Isn't it good to hear the Word of God? You just feel clean, don't you? You got a word bath tonight. I love that. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the balance of your word. Thank you that you love us. That's your part. But Lord, help us to do our part in response to your love, the outworking of your love tonight. Father, let us be a people who believe like never before, releasing our faith into you for all things you have promised us. Father, let us be a people who are obedient to your word, not because we have to, so we don't go to hell, but because we love you so much. And Father, thirdly, tonight, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you help us to be a people of love, that love each other, and that we love each other the way you've loved us, that we love each other with unconditional love, that we love each other not based on people's performance or what we see in their life, but Lord, let us look into them and see the true treasure that lies on the inside, and that is the eternal soul. God, we praise you tonight. Thanks so much that you loved us when we couldn't even love ourselves. And God, we praise you and we give you the glory. As we go out of here tonight, we just declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. God, we ask that you would protect us and keep us.